Chicago's only professional wizard, Harry Dresden, finds himself caught in a deadly dance between worlds when a series of brutal murders coincides perfectly with the full moon. The victims, torn apart with surgical precision yet animalistic rage, point to werewolves, but nothing is as simple as it first appears. When his friend Lieutenant Karen Murphy calls him to a blood-soaked hotel room where one of crime boss Johnny Marcone's bodyguards lies mutilated, Harry spots an 18-inch paw print that confirms his worst fears. With four more nights of full moonlight approaching and Murphy's career hanging in the balance, Harry promises to deliver answers by morning. But the sudden intrusion of aggressive FBI agents led by the imposing Agent Denton raises Harry's supernatural suspicions. What begins as professional courtesy to a friend evolves into a deadly game where one misstep could cost not just his life, but the lives of everyone he's sworn to protect. In his basement laboratory, surrounded by bubbling potions and ancient texts, Harry consults with Bob, his centuries-old spirit assistant housed in a human skull, about the complex varieties of werewolves they might be facing. Classic werewolves use personal magic to transform while maintaining human consciousness, though they struggle with sensory overload and balancing human wisdom with predatory instincts. Hexen wolves use enchanted objects, typically belts infused with spirits of bestial rage, to trigger transformations that combine lupine strength with human tactical thinking, though the spirit gradually corrupts its user, creating an addiction to violence. Lycanthropes never physically transform, but channel primal rage internally, like Norse berserkers, making them particularly dangerous in urban environments. Most terrifying are Lugarus, humans cursed to become unstoppable killing machines during full moons, nearly invulnerable except to inherited silver. What if our most frightening monsters aren't those with obvious fangs and claws, but the ones hiding behind badges, boardroom tables, or friendly smiles? Harry's investigation takes him to the Street Wolves' headquarters, a rusted garage housing not werewolves, but lycanthropes, humans with bestial souls. After narrowly escaping their leader Parker's murderous pack, Harry returns to find crime boss Gentleman Johnny Marcone waiting. Despite his criminal empire, Marcone shows vulnerability. He's afraid of the supernatural killer threatening his organization and offers a lead. Look up Harley McFinn and the Northwest Passage Project. This trail reveals McFinn as a Vietnam veteran who dedicated his fortune to creating a massive wildlife preserve. His ancient Irish family carries a curse from St. Patrick to become a ravening beast at every full moon, a lugaroo. When Murphy calls about another murder at McFinn's address, Harry discovers his former client Kim Delaney's mutilated body near a broken summoning circle. In the basement lies McFinn's damaged containment prison, a silver circle embedded in concrete. Harry realizes Kim had sought his help to recreate this circle, and his refusal led directly to her death. After escaping police custody with help from Tara West McFinn's mysterious fiancé, Harry meets the Alphas, college students who transform into wolves to protect their neighborhood. Unlike other werewolves, they use their abilities for good, their leader Billy explaining, "Someone has to do something. I can, so I should." Harry discovers the FBI agents are actually Hexen wolves, using magical belts to transform. When confronted, Agent Harris confesses they originally planned to kill Marcone and frame the street wolves, but the power corrupted them into addicted killers who hungered for blood and transformation's ecstasy. "You're not using the power you've been given. It's using you," Harry tells him. Tara offers profound insight. They have not become animals. Animals kill to eat, to defend themselves or their own. Not for joy. Not for lust. Only humans do that. The transformation becomes an addiction, not just to physical power, but to freedom from moral constraints. This mirrors how power corrupts in reality, as those gaining authority often abandon their guiding principles. In a desperate battle against Denton's Hexen wolves, Harry puts on one of the wolf belts. The transformation is immediate and intoxicating. His senses sharpen impossibly, counting individual hairs and hearing heartbeats through darkness. The world feels right in a profound way he's never experienced. Power overwhelms as Harry tears at Agent Ben's throat, thinking with savage joy. Her life was mine to take, as it should be. The belt transforms both body and mind, replacing morality with predatory instinct. Tasting Denton's blood, he feels drunk with power, planning to kill him and take my rightful place. Only Susan's terrified voice breaks through his bloodlust. Seeing her fear, something inside whispers, "You'll never be Harry Dresden again." Recognizing the dark power consuming him, Harry tears off the belt despite the agony of returning to his injured human form. This experience forces Harry to confront the beast within, the capacity for violence existing in all humans. The wolf belt didn't create these impulses, it merely amplified them and removed social constraints. What truly separates humans from monsters? When Harry sees Denton's soul, he witnesses what had once been a beautiful, ordered structure, now decayed and coated with black sludge. A good man poisoned by power until only filth remained. The climax converges as Harry, Murphy, and the Alphas meet at Marcone's estate. After battling Hexen wolves, they face Macfin's Loop Guru, a creature beyond typical werewolf mythology, manifesting not as voluntary transformation, but ancient curse made flesh. The beast towers with an impossibly wide muzzle filled with gleaming teeth, its supernatural presence distorting reality and filling the air with primal terror. Harry's magic proves useless against the cursed creature. His solution comes from sacrifice, his mother's silver pentacle amulet. Breaking it from his neck represents both necessity and surrender of protection. When Murphy appears, she sees Harry in what appears to be a threatening stance and reacts with distrust. As the Loop Guru charges toward her, Harry acts despite knowing she might shoot him, prioritizing her safety over his own. The silver pentacle strikes true, carrying both physical power and magical heritage. Blue-white fire erupts from the wound as purification. Macfin's transformation back to human form and final smile signify gratitude. Harry has ended not just his rampage, but generations of cursed existence. The aftermath brings both closure and new beginnings. Harry and Murphy destroy the Hexen wolf belts and attend funerals for fallen colleagues. Susan's career advances when her Loop Guru footage briefly airs before mysteriously vanishing. The Alphas pledge friendship to Harry with an idealism that both touches and concerns him. They don't yet understand power's true cost. Harry's growing paranoia about being targeted seems justified. The pattern suggests orchestration by unknown forces testing or attempting to eliminate him. Full Moon explores the boundary between humanity and monstrosity through its characters. Macfin, unwillingly cursed, Denton's FBI team, whose moral corruption tracks their willing transformation, the Street Wolves, who embrace their darker impulses, and the Alphas, who transform for protection rather than predation. In our lives, we face similar choices between power at any cost or maintaining humanity despite temptation. The true monsters aren't those who howl at the moon, but those who choose cruelty when kindness remains an option.